And today's guest, we have the superintendent joining us. It's Dr. Judy DeMuth before the meeting, the school board meeting coming up tonight. Dr. DeMuth, good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you doing?
Good. I'll say Happy New Year. I'm one of those people. I haven't spoken to you yet this year, so I'm going with Happy New Year. And if anybody wants to come after me, come on. Come on.
Please know we've had great weather, and we want to keep it that way.
We are trying and trying our best, and the good news is we don't have anything on the extended forecast that possibly could bother us during the week until the first full week in February. So fingers are crossed. We hope that's good. That keeps our schedules and everybody else moving in the right direction. And we've got a big meeting tonight, the school board meeting, but you had a work session last night. So let's start there because it's going to tie into tonight's meeting. Let us know about what's going on.
Sure. Thank you. And last evening, we did have a work session with the board. We've been, for about the last 5 years, I think I've talked with the radio group and all of the people listening about the fact that we needed transportation drivers. And so that's been continuing through the last 5 years, and really nationally, statewide, anywhere you go, you see advertisements for drivers. And so we've tried to really take an approach to systematically do a number of things to attract drivers, number one, and then also to retain drivers so that we can get our students from home to school and school to home. We have just a little less than three-fourths of our transportation fleet is owned by us. And so we have those employees, we have the buses, and you see the buses next to our offices that go out and pick up students. Then we also contract some buses. And so we've had a number of contractors working for us for many years, and they have typically a 1, 2, or 4 year contract. And at the expiration of that contract, then those contracts are rebid. So we've been looking at how can we attract more contractors. If we can't get our own bus drivers, how can we attract more contractors who will bring us bus drivers and run the route so that students get home in a timely manner and to school in a timely manner? So this has gone through a long process. We met, you know, with the city, we've met with IU Transportation, we've tried to steal bus drivers, we've done about everything we can. We run a bus through the parade that says, you know, apply to be a bus driver. We've taken our bus out to the county fair, apply to be a bus driver. So really kind of one of the last things that we're going to try is we put out bids last year to try to attract a bigger fleet, if you will, or a bigger group of buses. So when people bid on them, they could bid on one route, multiple routes, or a lot of routes. So we redid how we put out our bids, hoping to attract somebody that had a lot of buses that could bring us a lot of drivers and run our routes. So we did last year try that, and unfortunately we're not successful because a lot of the people who own a lot of buses wanted to be guaranteed a lot of routes. And so we've been working at trying to kind of do a combination of routes, do 20 routes together. And this year when we actually bid, we just put them all out and said, you can bid on one, you can bid on five, you can bid on all 43. Do whatever you need to do, but give us your best price. And so what happened was we did attract a couple of fleet contractors who came in with really good numbers. The bottom line is we looked at all the bids, and by the way, when we take bids, it's a very legal process. You know, it has to be published in the paper. And in fact, when we did bids this year, it was our eighth publication of trying to attract larger groups so that we can have enough drivers and buses for our kids. So we did attract two large fleet carriers, and so this evening we'll be awarding or recommending award of the bid to a big fleet carrier who will do most of the routes, and then also one of our contractors who's been with us a number of years who also bid low. We'll be recommending awarding the bid to the lowest bidders to travel and provide buses for our kids. And we believe that it's really going to help us because right now what we're doing is I've got a number of custodians, all of our maintenance crew, and our mechanics trained with CDL licenses, and they're actually driving routes because we're so short of drivers.
Wow.
So this evening, we believe that this is going to help us tremendously, And obviously, there's nothing that's done without controversy, and there is some controversy because some of the contractors that we've had here for a number of years did not give us the lowest bid and will not be recommended for award. So we worked with our fleet carrier, and the good thing is that he's very willing to hire them to allow them to use their buses, to even take their buses home, providing them some things that I think will be extra incentives to continue working for him, and or we'll employ them because we're still in need of bus drivers. So I think it's a win-win. I just think it's a different way of going about it. So we did have a work session last night to explain the entire process. And I think at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a really good system for our students because right now we're still getting students home too late and they're not getting to school on time. And this will free us up to have hopefully some flexibility with some substitute drivers when we do have someone that's absent. So it's a long story, but the bottom line is tonight the award will be for the fleet contractor and another one of our current contractors who did give us the lowest bid.
I think the one angle I think that people would say, why can the fleets find drivers but the school corporation can't? What's the differentiation between the two?
That's always a great question because when you subcontract, that contract is stating that they're going to bring the buses and they're going to bring the drivers. So that's their problem. But in essence, how does that happen? We believe that it's going to happen because he's going to be able to attract them with a different hourly wage and maybe a different benefit structure than we currently have. And so we're hoping he attracts from a wider area because of the higher hourly rate wage. In our structure, we have a competitive wage, but we have a lot of fringe benefits that possibly people don't want to have or they want a changed benefit package, and he'll have the flexibility to do that kind of thing. So we're hoping that he's able to attract a wider range of employees and then also bring some, if needed, to the facility that he will actually be opening in the community.
So that makes more sense because he just doesn't have to operate by the same rules, quote unquote.
Well, we have regulations on where we can take money from to do transportation.
Right, you can't take it from this silo to move it to that silo. Okay, that makes sense. Dr. Judy DeMuth is our guest this morning, the superintendent of MCCSE Schools. The work session last night, obviously very busy, and then now a meeting tonight.
Tonight, a school board meeting, and Judy, one of the things is Lakeview School.
Yes. We're really looking forward. We've had this in our capital projects plan. Lakeview needs a lot of attention in terms of ADA compliance and safety compliance. And so this evening, we will have the hearing with respect to Lakeview Elementary. And the reason we have to do that is any type of building program that we have that exceeds $1 million, we need to have what's called a hearing. And so it's a process that we use in public schools, and we'll do that tonight, and we hope to start that work in the summer to upgrade that facility to really be conducive to a lot of compliance issues with regard to safety and ADA.
There's a big national push to get young girls interested in engineering and math and science and those kinds of things, and you've got a program going in the MCCSE on that.
Yes, we're really proud of this. It's called GEMS, Girls in Engineering, Math, and Science. And we'll be hosting our first GEMS Saturday program on April 22nd. And we'll be inviting 5th and 6th grade girls to a Saturday morning hands-on conference focusing on engineering, math, technology, and science. And so we're very excited about that because, as you know, as you can imagine, we've got IB Tech involved. We've got Indiana University involved. We've got some great role models for our girls, and so we're really looking forward to an exciting morning of lots of interesting things they can do with engineering, math, technology, and science, really trying to encourage them to take a look in that direction as they think about their career and to make them feel successful in those areas. So we're very excited about that program.
Dr. Judy DeMuth is our guest this morning. She checks in, the superintendent of the MCCSE, right before the monthly meeting. And we've got another meeting that's coming up in a couple weeks, a community conversation. What is that going to help us figure out here locally?
Yes, and so last year we hosted one, and this year we're going to do kind of the same. It's how does this legislative session impact public education? As you know, the legislature is in session, and so we're seeing a lot of bills that are being purported at this point in time. We don't know if they'll make them or not. So we have a very distinguished panel. We'll have, and again, all of these people are tentative work schedules because sometimes our legislators get called away in the evening and they have no control over that. So at this point in time, Representative Matt Pierce will be joining us, Senator Mark Stoops, Dr. Brian Smith, who's the Executive Director of the Indiana School Boards Association, Dr. Terry Mason, who's the Dean of Indiana School of Education, Ms. Sandy Steele, who's with the Indiana State Teachers Association, Mr. Paul Farmer, who's the president of our association, Mr. Tim Thrasher, our Director of Business and Operations, and Ms. Kathy Fuentes-Rohr, who's the chair of the Indiana Coalition for Public Education. And we'll be talking about this session. We'll be talking about various bills that impact public education and what the implications of those bills are. So we're really looking forward to that. It's Tuesday, February 7th. From 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. in our MCCSC CoLab, which is at 553 East Miller Drive. So we're very looking forward to having that distinguished panel and learning a lot about the legislative session.
And Judy, one of the last things on the schedule tonight is you're going to talk a little bit about the graduation trends.
Yes, absolutely. And our four-year graduation trends are staying pretty stable. We did have a little bit of a decrease. We were at 95% last year. And we came out to 94.3% this year. So there was a little bit, probably a half a student, if you will, when you look at the percentages.
Where's the other half? Where did the other half go?
So I'm not sure where that other half went. But the bottom line is we're staying about stable, and the board will hear about those graduation trends. And as you know, that's what it's all about. We want to make sure the kids are successful and finish that graduation, our high school graduation program, and graduate to go on to whether it be careers and or schooling.
And the meeting tonight is what time?
We will meet this evening in our offices at 6 p.m. and look forward to any of the public who would like to attend.
And that is the once-a-month meeting, the fourth Tuesday, even though there's five Tuesdays in January, the fourth Tuesday of every month. Dr. DeMuth, we appreciate your time and your insight as always, and have a great meeting tonight.
You too. Thanks so much for having me.